Before we get started, I had a call from Bill Frantz this morning. Once again, concerned and confused, I guess is the way to say it. But we prayed last Sunday. We're going to pray again. That was his request, and that's what we're going to do. I know that God is working on Bill, just like he's working on all of us. The biggest problem we have is trying to tell God how it's supposed to be done. I'm serious. It's becoming more and more evident with me and with you and with everybody concerned that we always have an agenda when we approach God. And it isn't, not my will but thine be done. We always want to tell him how it is, even if we say that. And Bill admitted to me this morning that was one of his problems, and I praise God for that. He's getting more at peace. Now, Linda is a child of God, and so is Bill. So are you, and so are I. He's got a real problem. He's got his timing issue, not based on his problems, but based on ours. He's a gentleman. He's a good father. He's a loving father, and he cares about everybody concerned. So many times when he has a work to do, he has to work in, around, and through all of us because of our agenda. That makes sense? All right. I believe in my heart that it's time for Linda to go home. I believe that. I believed it last Sunday. If you listen to the way I prayed very cautiously because I don't want to be the interference. I want to be the help meet that God needs, that Jesus needs. Amen? That means I honor my husband, I honor my father, and whatever they want, they got. And that's a lot easier said than done. That's why God works with us. Bill called me this morning, and I had to get him calmed down to understand what he said. But let me tell you what I heard him say. That when the mom left, him and the sister went into the room with Linda. The sister suggested, I wonder if Linda wants to go home to be with Jesus. Bill said, well, I don't know. You know, Bill's pretty smooth. I don't know. Maybe let's just ask her. So Bill leaned over and said, Linda, would you like to go home and be with Jesus? And Linda shook her head yes. I don't think she'd been responding up until that point. Now that ought to be a pretty good sign. But we still have our flesh to deal with. They discussed it. They stayed there with her for a while. And then Bill finally leaned over and said, Linda, if you want us to leave and let you rest, squeeze my hand. And she squeezed his hand. Now, this is after the doctor's saying there's probably not any hope she's not going to wake up. Now, Bill shared with me also that he'd had a vision one night there in the apartment, or his townhome, where he heard the vacuum cleaner running back in Linda's bedroom. He didn't know what it was, but he went in there, and Linda was standing in there. And Bill said, welcome home, Linda. Welcome home. He said, when did you get here? She said, I don't know. I just woke up and I was home. Now, I told Bill, I said, now, you need to be quiet now because you're going to preach me excited. I'm not. If you think that I feel sad about this, I can't, Bill. I can't. And so they pretty much made up their mind by Linda's confession, you might say, that Linda wants to go home to be with Jesus. I do too. I just don't know when yet. I'm not ready to get on the load going right now. But I am looking forward to that day. Not as the only thing that's important or going on in my life, but I understand that there's no fear in that. I told Bill this, that God had to work through you, Bill. Your timing, your heart, you had to be ready. Linda is not suffering as we think. He was worried about her suffering. See, God has the ability to alienate our spirit from our body.
That's right.
To divide them. It teaches us that they're two different entities. It teaches us the Word divides that, does it not?
Yes.
So I said, you need to be encouraged that God and Linda are already conversing. Now, are you conversing with God? Y'all don't want to be in the same... you do want to be on the same page, not the house divided.
Amen.
So we're going to pray this morning. I'm going to pray mostly for, if I were a crude Christian, I'd say for the living. But I'm not. I'm a righteous man with the mind of Christ. I'm going to pray for the ones that are left.
Yes.
Amen? Y'all agree with me as we pray. Father, we come to you as people that love Bill and Linda.
Yes.
And our love doesn't even hit the scale compared to yours for them. But we want to agree with you now that your will be done in Linda's life. And in the process, your will be done in Bill and his sister and his mother's life. That your touch and your presence and your will as it's being done will heal Linda, will heal Bill, will heal her sister, and heal the mother. And then when this is all said and done, we'll all be greatly encouraged. We'll all give you praise and we'll all give you honor because we trust you. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your reward for Linda is great. She was less than a full person on this earth, but she won't be in times to come.
Amen.
Nobody could ever convince her that she was 100% on this earth. And she walked and talked and acted that way. But we're anxious in the future and in the spirit to see her dance before the Lord.
Yes.
In wholeness and fullness. If it be your will that she stays, heal her now. If it be your will that she leaves, heal her now.
Amen.
But either way, she's healed in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees with this prayer says, Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, I forgot. Strengthen Bill. God, we ask you to strengthen Bill. Cause him to shine in this fire. Cause him to be the minister of this household in this time of fire. So that you receive all honor and glory in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. Now, Father, again I ask you to reveal your word to your people today. Open it as only you can. Teach us to keep our ears open, our hearts open for you and you alone. Let everything that's going to be said here this morning by man fall to the ground. But let what you say by the Holy Spirit of the living God pierce us, dividing our flesh from our spirit, strengthening our spirit, opening paths that only you know for us. And we thank you that it's done in advance in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right, children, I think she's headed out to the church in the back, church out back. Hallelujah. All right, this morning we're going to start it. We're going to do a part six of a I don't know how many series. That's up to God. Let me start with our base scripture, which is Matthew 10:38, and says this. Our series is about taking up your cross and following Jesus. Verse 38 says, "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it." I'm going to review very quickly that this is not a negative series. As a young man, I always feared taking up your cross and following Jesus. Who wants to haul around the cross? But then as I studied that, I found out this is the cross of victory. It's not pain. It's not defeat. And that's what God wants us to enter into with Christ Jesus, is the victorious battle and the victorious win that Jesus did and passed on to us. Amen? All right. Now, I will remind you, and Patrick, I definitely want last week's CD. You can see Patrick if you want to, any parts of this. But the number one was we can value nothing above Jesus and His kingdom. And our temple, which is church and bodies, must be clean and dedicated. Part two, the scripture that Jesus said about His flesh being the veil. We found out that our flesh is the veil that keeps us out of the Holy of Holies. And if we don't crucify our flesh, which is taking up His cross, we can never go through that veil. It's not broken for us. It was broken in the Spirit, but we have the ability to walk into the Holy of Holies now, and only our flesh can keep us out. Part three, praise and truth are required in our life. Part of taking up our cross is we must speak truth. Therefore, we have much to praise about. Part four, our hands represent power, our feet represent a position, and together they represent action. Part five, which was last week, which was faith. That's all I'm going to tell you, faith. Part six, which is today. Seeing Jesus is more important than seeing. Seeing Jesus is more important than seeing. 1 Corinthians 2, the base scripture today for today is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. For I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, you've heard me talk about this before. We're going to have a little bit of different slant on it today. But last week, you know, I will tell you again, since you'll hear again, that the message that I preach this morning is more important to me than to you. Because I need the help as much or more than you do. And so I look forward to coming up here and opening this mouth just to see what God's going to get out of it. And last week, I got blessed. I had a Sunday morning hangover for days after that. A word hangover. It just kept me alive and going. I need to hear it again. The great thing about truth is that it goes to work to set us free if we will meditate on that word. That's why it's important to read your Bible, to pray, to get copies of the messages that you think are important and listen to them again. This week has been quite a week. I don't know if you all have analyzed the week in itself, but we've had soldiers killed. We've had interest rates rise. We've had gasoline prices soar. All of this sounds bad, and that's exactly the way the devil wants us to look at it.
Yep.
And as I listen to the news, and this is strange. I'm not usually this way, but I think it was a lesson to me from God. As I listened to the news, I found myself discouraged. And I thought, my goodness, with all of this going on, we'll never make any money. I mean, the whole thing is going to hell in a handbasket. Now, that's exactly what the will of Satan is, for us to believe, to listen, to perceive.
Yes.
And instantly, I believe by the Holy Spirit, by the message that I gave last Sunday, I was reminded that God owns all the oil. And He knows what the cost is to me. And He promised to meet my needs.
That's right.
I mean, it was nearly like, hey, dummy. You know, kind of like you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I don't care how high the interest gets, and I don't care how high the fuel gets.
Right.
I got my opinion about why these things are happening, but that doesn't make any difference. The Word of God, the truth of God says that He is my supply.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
And I really don't think that a high price can outdo God.
Right.
I don't think there's any cost in the world that can tax His bank account.
Amen?
Especially since He owns it all. If He's going to get all the profit from it anyway, He's just got to give it back to us, such as promise, in the form of all of our needs met plus abundance. I remembered again what the cross, what the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ did. I don't care what it stood for. I want to know what it did. And I was reminded by the Spirit again that the death, burial, and resurrection, the picture of the cross, set me free. It was the greatest redemption that's ever happened on the face of the earth. I was redeemed from debt. And I was redeemed from sin. And I was redeemed from the curse, which includes all of the sickness and disease and dis-ease and discomfort. I was redeemed from that. And I really don't have the right to feel down. I can't let my flesh become the veil again. If I want to ponder on the world's going to hell in a handbasket, then the veil goes back up and I'm kicked out of the Holy of Holies. Because I'm not believing who God is and what He is. In other words, I can take myself out of the presence of God. I can take myself out of the redemption of God. I can take myself out of the belief of God, the Word of God, the life of God. All I have to do for 1 second is think that God doesn't love me. For 1 second, that's all I have to do. Then all of this world nonsense makes sense. But if I remember that God loved me before He even made the earth, then I understand why the earth was made. It was because of His love, and that the earth was here to provide for me. Not for me to provide for it. I'm the one that tends the garden. It doesn't tend me. And if I'm running a little short, then I need to command the shortage to get out of town and receive the blessings of God. Get back into that Holy of Holies where I belong. I was reminded. You know, it's one thing to preach things and understand it. It's a good thing when you're reminded. I was reminded at that moment what it really means that your heart is desperately wicked. Because your heart always wants to go back to its roots. I have the mind of Christ that overrules the heart. I can dictate to my heart who to fall in love with, what to believe, what to trust, based on my mind and its understanding of the truth. Amen. Now there's one other key ingredient. I must use my mouth to tell my heart what to believe. So my heart's not going to believe that the world is going to hell in a handbasket, because that is not the truth. All right. I was reminded again of what we studied just a few weeks ago. Isn't it amazing how quickly we forget? About Paul and Silas. You remember that? Let me quickly read it to you. If you think your world's going to hell in a handbasket, just let me read this to you. Acts chapter 16, verse 23 to 26. Acts chapter 16. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, the jailer put them in an inner prison and fastened their hands and their feet in stocks. I didn't notice any marks on any of y'all or myself. Y'all aren't in prison. I didn't have to bail any of you out. You haven't been in chains. So I know your situation is not quite as bad as this. But at midnight... Now listen to me. Here's the key. This is where our mind tells our mouth what to say so our heart knows what to do. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Why? Because they knew the truth no matter what the circumstances were. And the prisoners were listening to them. What's really said there? Paul and Silas, they just thought they were prisoners. The other guys were. They were prisoners. But Paul and Silas were busy praising and singing hymns to God. They knew they weren't in that prison, no matter what they saw. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Everyone's chains were loosed. Not just Paul and Silas. See, the world is not our answer. We're the answer to the world.
Yeah.
When we get our mind and our mouth telling our heart what to believe, somebody's listening, and they need to be set free. Yeah. There's going to be somebody this very week talk to you about the situations I just mentioned. Fuel, interest rates, the war. They're not going to mention it to you as information. You need to remember something. They're mentioning it in desperation. You have the answer.
That's right. Yeah.
What you say may set them free.
Amen.
No. What you say will set them free.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
If you're already free in what you say. They didn't have fearful thoughts of destruction and no profit and no future. None of those can overcome the victory we have in Jesus.
Amen.
Come on, what problem can you get? What problem can attack you or overcome you that's bigger than Jesus? Well, you're not too excited about it. Oh. And I've shared this with you before. Connie and I are being tempered now. It seemed like it's been that way for a long time, doesn't it? We're ready for some earth shaking. But we see the earth shaking when we know we've got something to praise and worship about.
Mm-hmm.
Not when we're still looking at the chains in the prison. You remember in Daniel chapter 3, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their world was coming to an end. You remember that? The king of the whole earth said to them, "You will bow to the image that I have made." They said, "Not a chance. That's not going to happen." King said, "You'll do it or I'll burn your hide." They said, "You have that right to throw us in the fire. We have the right to come out. But in case we don't, it makes no difference. I'm not bowing." Now, are we sold enough on Jesus Christ not to bow to what threat's coming our way?
Yeah.
To look at it and say, when our flesh wants to say, 250? I don't think I can handle this. Are we smart enough to say, flesh, shut up? This fire is not big enough to burn me.
Amen.
Not because of who I am. It's because who Jesus is, who God the Father is. By the way, they didn't even handle that politically correct. They made the king mad. They didn't talk to him very polite. They just said, no matter what you do, we're not bowing to your idol or your threat. That's what they were really saying. We're not bowing to your threat. We need more of that. He said, heat that up 7 times hotter. Gas. So what if the gas price goes up 7 times? What are you going to do? Are you going to come tell me you can't make it on my fixed income? Because that's what the devil's going to suggest you think.
That's right.
They said, I don't care if you make it 70 times hotter. We're not bowing. He picked up some of his tough men. He said, you throw them in. I walked over and threw them in, and it just so hot it melted them. Remember?
Yep. That's right.
So we don't care in our situations and our problems what we see around us. We don't care who's melting around us. We're still not going to bow.
Amen?
All right. They looked in there. King looked in there. Let me read this to you so you don't think I'm making this up. They were bound. Hands, feet, they were totally bound. Do you understand you don't stand up when you're bound? Okay. The king Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound in the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." What are they going to say? "No, you're a liar." Verse 25, he says, "Look," he answered, I see four men loose. Was there a fire there? Was the gas prices high? Interest rates going up? Business looks down? I mean, the world's coming to an end. Come on. You think about the problems you're facing and put them in there. But when somebody else looks at you because of your faith, they see you loose. Why? Because you're still singing and praising God. You're not going down. Not even if you're bound are you going down. You're getting up. I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. They're not running from the fire. Whatever problems they were having, they're right in the middle of it walking around. Like free men. And they're not hurt. And here's the most important thing. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now, you've heard me say this before. I'm going to remind you again. There was no Son of God then.
Right.
Jesus is revealed in the fire.
Amen.
Even out of time, Harry, he's revealed in the fire.
Yes.
You know, we don't have to point Old Testament, New Testament. When we need him, he's there.
Right.
And he's going to see. And others are going to see him the most when we're in the fire. Now, I've reminded you before that the only thing that the fire did to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, other than reveal Jesus, was burn their boundings off. It's the only thing that was burned. So I don't care whose fire. You can call it fire of God. You can call it fire of the enemy. If you're truly trusting God, the only thing that's coming off of you is what's binding you. It's holding you down.
Amen. That's right.
I'm encouraged in that, guys. You need to be encouraged enough to smile or move your toes or something. The statement in the Scripture says the fire had no power. Well, that's not true. It had no power over them because it just killed the guys that threw them in. So I know it had some power. So don't let anybody tell you that troubles aren't going on around you. Because they're affecting people around you. You just need to be the deliverance. And here's what Nebuchadnezzar said. He said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." What he said was, "I've never seen anything like this in my life. Whatever they got, I want." That's what he said. He said, "God sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. They delivered his servants who trusted in him. They have frustrated my word," the king said. I love that one. There's a God bigger than my word. We all need to learn that once in a while. "Yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any God except their own. I am impressed." That's what he said. He also said this. "Therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this one."
Amen.
Now, are you guys saying that already about your situations? Are you going to wait till you get a little deeper in the fire? There is no God that can deliver like our God. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He promoted his enemies. Why? Because God changed his outlook. Now, I'm ashamed of myself for even thinking there might be a problem bigger than that one. To let myself think just for a second that there's any way that I can walk this earth in Christ Jesus and not be on top and not the bottom. Now, do we intend to follow Jesus? Do we intend to follow his death, burial, and resurrection? Do we intend to put our flesh into the grave and keep it there? Which is a big, full-time job. Seems like the older I get, the easier it ought to get. I don't believe that. I seem like I fight more now than I used to. Not going to lose. I'm not going to lose. If we intend to follow him, take up his cross and follow him, it's going to be on a daily, moment-by-moment decision.
That's right.
And how I know that? Because the minute you're not making a decision, Satan's going to come and suggest something to you. You're not going to like it if you're on your toes. We must believe God more than what we see or feel. Is that what happened to Paul and Silas? Is that what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?
Yep.
They believed God more than they believed the circumstances. They believed that they were delivered more than what they saw or felt. Their belief system was so strong that prison didn't discourage them and fire didn't burn them. Come on. I want you to think about that for a little bit. The trouble with tough word is that there may be a tough challenge following. I told you, I've been blessed. I've been in the fire. I literally went into the fire. And against all the predictions and circumstances and knowledge and doctorates and all that stuff, I didn't have any pain either. There was no fire pain. There was no worry. There wasn't anything but resurrection for me. I have that experience. I have that lion and that bear that I can remember. It's not the only one. I remember the x-rays that went from a broken to a mend like that. I remember. I believe in the redemption. You understand, sometimes I can forget for the moment. Circumstances can cause you to forget for the moment. God's not mad about that. But he might make you stand up and preach something about it. He might do that. He might make you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony.
Right?
Our heart cannot be influenced by news or by fear, because there is no fear in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Here's the thing we need to remember. We can yell and scream at the oil companies. We can be tough on them. We can yell and scream at those that set our interest rates that we know that are thwarting the economy. We can get mad and yell and scream protest. We can go to the president's ranch and say, I want the war to stop or I want it to keep going, whatever position. We can just hold signs. We can do all kinds of things. But what we really need to be doing is we need to be getting tough with us.
Yes. Yes.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have been praying a lot, says in the Word. Paul and Silas had been praying a lot. Therefore, they knew what to do when they hit the fire, when they hit the bonds, when they hit the jail. If we were that tough on us, if I had been that tough on me, I might not have been having to fight that battle right at that moment. And I have to tell you, it was an easy battle. I give God praise for that. It was an easy battle. It didn't take me very long to get over that little woe is me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go out and eat a worm situation. If we're going to be tough on the devil, we have to be tough on ourselves first. We need to remember that. If we're going to be tough on the enemy, we have to be tough on ourselves first. We must enforce the victory that Jesus gave us on the circumstances that are putting pressure on us. Did you get that one? Faith without works is dead. That's what the Bible says. What is your work? Your work is to enforce the victory that Jesus gave you on the pressure that's being put on you right now. Enforce that victory. Y'all acted like you didn't know what I said just then. If you don't, at least look at me like maybe that's true. I may say it 3, 4, 5, 6 more times. To win, you must enforce the victory that Jesus gave you on the circumstances and pressure that's being put on you. Fire, prison, chains. Doesn't make any difference what it is. You have to be the enforcer. God the Father had the idea. Jesus, the Son, enforced it. He did it. He paid the price. He did it. He forced his flesh not to argue, and he completed the work of the Father. Now, we have to complete the work. We have to enforce it. We must believe God more than what we see or feel. You understand, we're a nation of feelers? We spend half our time trying to figure out what's causing the feeling we have, instead of making the feeling we have get in alignment with God's Word.
Amen.
Jesus had a feeling. Let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He was feeling the pressure. He enforced the will. We got to respond correctly, or we may not get a lot of chances to respond. It is safe. Do you understand we're not in danger? We're not in danger. If we are believing God, our business is not in danger, our lives are not in danger, our family's not in danger, our future's not in danger. Don't you think that God might have anticipated oil prices going up?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the reason he knew that is because he knew there'd be a bunch of flakes out there saying, "What was me? There's a shortage," when there's not a shortage. That's not my theory. That's reported. There's no shortage. Step out in the water and trust the cross.
Yeah.
Bear the cross, which is win with and in Christ Jesus. Are you a winner?
Yes.
You haven't been told this last week that you're losers? Come on. That's all I'm talking about by the enemy. Who else? Anybody else, you just slap them. If I get my hands on him, I'd slap him too, but he's fast. I can't hit him with my hands, but I can get him under my feet.
Yes,
I can do that. If we ever intend to walk the victorious walk of Jesus Christ, then we must change what we see and not become what we see. In the Bible, when Jesus said, if you say to that mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and not doubt in your heart, but believe, you'll have what you say. Don't forget how many times he said say. Now I got news for you. If you don't move the mountain, you become part of the mountain. Either you'll live there or you'll be buried there, but you'll become part of the mountain. So whatever situations in our lives, it's up to us to command, mountain, be moved. You know where my sins were put? You go there. You know what he said? And cast into the sea where my sins are. That's where my mountain needs to go. So it kind of puts mountain and sin in the same category. I don't need to be dwelling there. I don't need to be thinking about those things. I need to remember where they are. Come on. Y'all have had your sins come up in your face before. You've got to command them to get back to where they're supposed to be. Don't forget the mountain's got to go too. Or the fire. Or the chains, or the prison, or whatever, however you want to say it. We have to know something. On this verse of Scripture that I based this message on, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I always felt like that was an effort to teach me how to see other people. I'm not looking for sin, I'm not looking for anything but you being victorious. I want to see you. I've got to see Jesus Christ and Him crucified, or I may not like you. That's the way I always kind of looked at this Scripture. Now, what I need is a big old mirror right here so that I can say this to the right person. I can look in the mirror and I can say I'm determined to know nothing in you, Stan, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Turn this thing back around where it's going to help me the most. Was Jesus crucified? Why? What? Same thing, redemption. Wasn't for him? Wasn't for Jesus. It wasn't so that he could go on a street corner and start preaching Jesus. It wasn't so he could get rich. So he could get healed. So he could get his name in the book. Then what was it about? It was just for us? For the kingdom. Bottom line, it was for the kingdom. We benefit, but it was for the kingdom, right? We don't need to lose sight of our benefit in the kingdom. Let's get away from our ego and say this was all about the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
But let's don't get lost in the fact that we became victorious in that.
Oh,
so if I'm going to look at the scripture correctly and I'm going to say, Stan, I'm determined in you to see nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What am I saying to me? Why was Jesus crucified? Okay, number one, everything in me needs to be for the kingdom. Let's break it down now. Let's get a little more detailed. Did it have anything to do with redemption? So it's all about my redemption. So I need to see me redeemed. That's what I'm saying. Jesus Christ and Him crucified means I'm seeing me redeemed. And it's not obscured or hidden because of anything that's going on around me, right? No matter what I see, fire, chains, or anything, I am redeemed. Let's break it down more. I'm redeemed from what? What curse? Oh, y'all are full of it. That's good. Absolutely. That was the next clause right under redemption. We have to say redemption was keeping us from the presence of God, and we're not going to get anywhere without the presence of God. That holy of holy place that God paid so dearly for. Jesus paid so dearly for. But I promise you this. If I see something that goes against the cross, let's put it over here. If I see something that is anti-Christ, I need to deal with it. If it's in my life, if I believe it's all right for me to be sick and downtrodden, that's against the cross. We need to remember something, children of God. It is not a division between the cross, salvation, and the cross of the stripes, healing. In Isaiah, it was all clumped in one scripture. In the New Testament, it was clumped in one scripture. Jesus didn't say, excuse me, I've got to take care of healing, and then I'll take care of salvation. He said, I'm going to take care of it all right now.
Amen.
Many times in the New Testament, most of the times in the New Testament, he walked up and said, be healed, your sins are forgiven. Which came first in the crucifixion? By his stripes, right? Before the cross, he was ever nailed. He took care of it just like he said he would, just like he lived it. We're redeemed from the curse of poverty. You understand? We were under bondage of Satan. Satan is a broke, busted, disgusted piece of crud. And we belong to him. And Jesus redeemed us from that. Took back the keys of death and hell. Remember? That's what we see when we look at the cross. What we see when we look in the mirror and say, I'm determined to see nothing in you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I don't have the right. I gave myself as a bride to Christ. I don't have the right to walk around downtrodden. I don't have that right. I don't have the right to bum Jesus out in any way. I got good clothes. I got robes. Brilliant, beautiful robes. That's what Jesus provided. That's what I need to show up in. Not a robe of sickness and disease and poverty and worry and fear. Wrong robes. He didn't tie those for you. I can hear Jesus saying, where'd you get those? You've been fooling around on me? I thought you belonged to me. I don't dress like that. Why do you? I don't talk like that. Why do you? I don't act like that. Why do you? I'm telling you something. Jesus is good to me. And if I don't do anything but spend the rest of my life telling how good He is to me, it's still not enough. I need to live it. Walk it and think it and talk it. I don't need to worry myself into a frenzy. Because I can tell you, Jesus is not in frenzies.
Right.
He's not there. If I'm ever going to see the chains loosed, prison doors broken over, the fire reduced to nothing but a cleansing thing, then I have to take on the total victory of the cross, not parts of it. I have to take it on. If you don't take it on, you're not worthy of Him. That's what the Bible says. I have to take it on. It's my lifestyle. It's my life burden. It's my life burn. I've got to take that total victory, and I have to walk in that total victory. Not once a day. Not once a day, but every moment of every day.
Amen.
Too many Christians want to live in a... Back there in 19... Blah, blah, blah. back on the corner of Foo-Hoo, I bowed my knee at an altar. Hey, you know what? What happened to you today? That's all I want to know. Is Jesus alive and real to you today?
Yeah, yeah.
Is there something burning in you that wants you to live higher than you are right now?
Yeah.
For God, for Jesus, not for yourself? I mean, the prosperity message is about 80% true. We just need to throw out the 20 and take the 80.
Yeah.
It ain't about you. It's about Him.
Yeah.
It's about a bride without spot or wrinkles, what the Bible teaches. That's why He paid. That's why He gave you victory. For a bride without spot or wrinkle.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read to you in John chapter 12, verse 20. John chapter 12, verse 20. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." You know good and well I could stop and preach there for a while. I'm not. But that should be the cry of my heart. I want to see Jesus. Verse 22, Philip came and told Andrew. And in turn, Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." I'm not going to get heavy into this one. It's a timing issue. It's a timing issue. I don't have to reach out and touch Jesus to see Him. You understand that? If I'm remembering the cross, if I'm remembering my redemption, if I'm remembering the Word of God, if the Holy Spirit is in me, and He is, He's reminding me, writing things on my heart. That is Jesus. Jesus is, the Word is a man, remember?
Amen.
Truth is a man. The Word is a man and truth is a man. If it lives and moves and has its being in me, that's Jesus.
Amen.
Verse 24, most assuredly I say to you, now listen to me. This is the way preachers do it, guys. They talk about you when they're talking about themselves. That's right. Preacher waves his finger at you. The whole time he's talking about him.
Yep.
This is what Jesus said. Most assuredly, I say to you, what's going to happen to me and you? Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Verse 25, he who loves his life will lose it. Do you understand in the United States we're the most life-oriented bunch of people on the face of the earth? Life has more value than God Himself. Nobody believes they're ever asked to lay their life down for Christ Jesus, but that's the very basis of all Scripture. We go to the abortion clinics and try to beat them up and burn them down. Why? Because life is so precious. We're not protecting God and His seed. We've got a principle we're trying to protect. Hadn't been that long ago where that Christian killed the doctor to protect the baby. Huh? Something's wrong here.
Right.
He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. You think they might have understood? That he's talking about, unless the grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies? Or they just want to hear the good parts of the message? If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now we forget something. Jesus loves us, but his honor went to the Father. His obedience went to the Father. We need to remember that to understand that Jesus never obeys us. I don't care how good a prayer we think we are. Jesus never obeys us. We are here to obey Him. We are here to follow Him. Not to get on our knees and demand of Him what we want. Now, was that too common? Maybe y'all didn't want to hear that because y'all kind of froze. You just kind of froze. I don't know what that was about. I love Jesus. I want to honor Jesus, but I never need to forget the fact that this is all about God the Father.
Amen.
Just said that. Those that follow me, follow God, and Him will God honor.
Amen.
I wonder what happens when God honors something. I think your shoes won't wear out. I think water comes out of rock. I think honey comes out of rocks. I think Jesus becomes the bread of life when you honor the Father. What does that mean? That means that your association with Jesus becomes your life and breath and food and water. And God is sitting back saying, attaboy, Jesus, you picked a good bride. Verse 27. Jesus said, now my soul is troubled. I didn't know Jesus was ever troubled. Was Jesus a man like you and I?
Yes.
Is that what the Bible says?
Yes.
He had to feel every feeling of our infirmity.
Right.
So one of the things he had to feel was when we got troubled. So he says, so that you and I would know that he understands us. Now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? He's the greatest preacher on the face of the earth. Yeah, my soul is troubled. Now you want me to tell you what I'm going to say? Why did he do that? So we'd know what to say. Here's what I say, Father. Save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Why, he's a double-minded man. Oh, no, no, no. He's having an argument with his flesh like you and I do. He's telling his flesh the truth. We need to get this double-minded once in a while. We need not to be so ashamed of saying, I'm a little discouraged, but you don't have the right to be discouraged. Tell yourself something. Tell yourself some word. Encourage yourself in that. Meditate on it. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Let me tell you what he said. My flesh wants out of here so bad you can't believe it. Come on, let's be honest. But he said, I'm not going anywhere because this is what I came for. Oh, my word. Can you see Paul and Silas in chains and in prison saying, this is what I came for? Can you see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire saying, this is what this is all about. This is what I came for. Encouraged in tribulation. Gritting your teeth and saying, this is what it's all about. You watch me shine and make God shine. Can you imagine what the Christian community would look like if that was our attitude? A little Texas attitude. A little grit in your teeth and say, bring it on. Come on. I'm fixing to make things shine around here because I'm not defeated and I won't be defeated. That's what Jesus said. Now, this is what he finally said. Father, do your thing. Do your thing and be glorified. What was the thing? The thing was that we're about to be redeemed. We need to forget about Jesus about to be crucified. We need to remember that we were about to be redeemed. What's the cross? It's our redemption. It's not a place where Jesus was nailed. It's a place where our sins were nailed. Because nobody could kill Jesus just like they couldn't kill Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, no man takes my life. I lay it down.
Right.
Doesn't sound like a guy getting beat up. Don't you know I could call a legion? No, they didn't know. They wouldn't have been anywhere around. They'd have been out of there. Whatever trials I have in my life, they are there for victory. You hear me? Nothing that's trying us right now is for the trial. It's for the victory.
Yes.
And they are there to glorify God. I need not to wimp out, but to stay the course so that God's glory is shown. Through the victory of Jesus and His cross, I need to take up my cross, which is the cross of victory. Anybody in here want to tell me the cross was a cross of defeat? Because that'd be fighting words for me. We're going to have us a discussion, and you're going to lose. My dad would say, we're going to go outside and have the Big Apple all over the place. I never knew what that meant. I just didn't want to take part. I need to take up my cross, which is the cross of victory, and follow Jesus as he glorifies the Father. My victory is when I stop concentrating on what I see or feel and concentrate on the marvelous work that has been completed by the Father through Jesus Christ, my Lord, my husband. I'm a winner in Jesus. I'm a winner in Jesus. Can you say that? So you can't be in Jesus and be a loser. If you're a loser, you're not in Jesus. Now, I didn't say what anybody's opinion was. Because if you'd have looked in Paul and Silas, somebody would have called them a loser. So we're not going by outwardly signs. We're going by what you know to be true. Okay? Now I'm going to end this today with one that I ended last Sunday. We're just going to get a little more excited today than we did last Sunday. Romans 8:31. You ought to really check me out on this to see if it's true. If you can't check me out, take notes. And I said to you with all seriousness, and I'll say it to you in a different way right now, and that is that your decision is what keeps you afloat or causes you to sink. Your decision is what will send you to heaven or hell. You understand me? Just because Jesus redeemed us, if we don't make a decision on that, we don't get to take part of it. Wide is the road. Many go to destruction. Why? Wrong decision. Wrong decision. That's what we refer to as the will. God did not take away our will. Well, let's just call it a decision. Use it whichever way you want. But this is what Romans says. My decision. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say? Or what is our decision to these things? Here's what we say. If God is for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Listen to me. Everybody. That's a good answer. Who can be against us? Everybody. I like his response. It ain't enough. It is not enough. Don't be discouraged when you find somebody's against you when the Bible said, who can be against you? 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now this is the cool part. Let me put it in some good Texas language. He didn't stop with Jesus. He just added a bunch more. You hear me? Jesus would have been enough, right? It would have been enough. But God the Father didn't think it was enough. He wanted to bless us more. So he just blessed us in all things. Hallelujah. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. In other words, if you got a beef with me, take it up with God. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He doesn't charge us $200 an hour or $400 an hour or $500 an hour to be our attorney. He sits at the right hand of the Father and forever intercedes.
That's right.
Here's a question for you. Who shall separate us from the love and victory of Christ Jesus? Shall tribulation? Distress? There goes that word stress right out the window. Can't use it anymore. It's an illegal word because it goes out with our redemption. Persecution? Famine? Doesn't apply to anybody in here. Nakedness? Yeah. Peril? Sword? Fuel prices? Fear? War? Rumors of war, interest rates, deadlines, people that turn against you. What shall separate you from the love of God?
Nothing.
Terrible employees. That's stinking insurance. Workman's comp. Who shall separate you from the love of God? Stinking union. Come on. There's all kinds of things out there that can threaten us. As it is written, I'll skip that one. Verse 37. Yet, in all things, we are more than conquerors.
Yes.
Nearly all things.
All things.
You all know too much about the word. More than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, here's what I'm persuaded of. You know what persuaded in the Bible means? Huh? Fully convinced is better than convinced. I don't know why. It's the same word, but in our English, we put tense on things. Persuaded means no other answer, no other way, no other trail, and I don't want to talk to you about it anymore. I am persuaded, my decision, that neither death nor life, that's a pretty big step right there, isn't it? Death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor present, things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth. Where's Bob? He liked that, no height thing. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Where is the love of God? In Christ Jesus. So, those that don't believe in Christ Jesus do not have the love of God. That includes us. Right? Jesus was all about the Father. We're all about Jesus and the Father. Right? Hallelujah. What can separate you from God's love? You. It's the only thing that can. Why? Because God honors you. He doesn't take away your mind, your emotions, and your will. He would much, you know, I'll tell you what he doesn't do. He doesn't slap us in chains with a chastity belt the minute we give our heart to Jesus. He's not that kind of guy. You hear me? He wants our faithfulness and he wants our loyalness, our loyalty at our decision. That's what this is about. So I go back to that thought that I have. I remembered those thoughts. I cursed them because they were part of the curse. I can return them to the curse and I can remember the redemption, and then I can look in the mirror and say, I am totally convinced, totally persuaded, Stan, that I will not see anything in you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I need to see it. If I'm in the middle of a prison, it's pitch black. In other words, I can see Jesus when I can't see. Right? I need to see Jesus when I can't see. If all I can see is 250 for fuel, then I'm not seeing Jesus. And I need to get my eyes back on Jesus. Then maybe I can see things better. If the bank account doesn't look quite as flush as it used to, maybe I'm looking at the bank account and I'm not looking at Jesus. Come on. There are a zillion things out there that can discourage us. We only need one to encourage us. Amen?
Amen.
All right, y'all stand with me. Praise the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. When Bill called me this morning, he was crying. And I couldn't understand him. And I knew he wasn't seeing Jesus. I knew he was seeing a report, and it wasn't a report of the Lord. No, I didn't jump on him. I said, now, Bill, I need you to talk to me for a second. I need you to tell me what you just said, because I didn't understand you. When he told me, he calmed down, he told me what he said. I spoke to him some of the words of the Lord, some of the things we've studied. And his tone, his attitude, everything totally changed. It was like all of a sudden he was excited. He was on top instead of the bottom. If we will take just a minute or two once in a while in the daytime and remind ourselves of our position in the Lord Jesus Christ, everything else will pale. Everything else will go away. We'll be back on top and we won't be on the bottom. That's not the end of it. Don't forget Paul and Silas. Everybody in that place, their chains were loosed because of their belief in God. There's a lot of those people that need Jesus. There's a few of us. I don't know how many prisoners were in that prison, but there were more than Paul and Silas. So they were added to the kingdom because of the faith and the attitude and the action of Paul and Silas. Now, Jesus needs a few more Paul and Silas. He needs a few more Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Needs so that we can be that bride without spot or wrinkle, and we can cause others to be the same. Amen? All right, I'm going to ask you right now, are all hearts clear? Are all hearts clear? If somebody needs to talk to God about something, we'll help, or just bow your head and talk. He can hear you. I am not your intercessor. The Holy Spirit is that. The Holy Spirit is the one that draws you closer to God, no matter whether you're a sinner or a saint. The Holy Spirit is the one that draws you closer to God. If you need us to pray with you in any way about anything, you can come forward and we'll be faithful to do that. But we won't pray out of the will of God or the Word of God. We're going to pray in that thing. Yes. We agree that it's the will of God for her not to lose her foot. Amen. We won't agree with her. We will agree with the Word. And for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, it's too long a story. Please just trust me in this. I've told her personally, and I'll tell you, I won't agree with her because she sometimes prays amiss, and that's what this problem is about. She won't take wise counsel, and she won't listen to the Word of God. She just demands what she demands. It's exactly what we were talking about earlier. There's a scripture in the Bible, and I've told you that before. That when those amongst you are just this kind of situation, that what you do is you turn their flesh over to Satan so their souls will not be lost. What does that mean? I don't know. I just know sometimes you take your hands off, know the will of God in the matter. The will of God is that she not lose her foot. I know that. Will it hurt God's feelings if she does? No. It's her soul that he's after. What does the Bible say about your appendages? If they offend you, cut them off. My word. How religious and stupid can we get? I mean, I want her to be in health fully. Yes. If she chooses to take another way, please take the way. Get there. That's the main thing. Get there. And Father, we do. We stop for this moment and we pray for Jerry. God, I don't know what you're up to in her life. But I'm for you.
Amen.
I'm for her, that thing that's causing her all these problems for all these years. I'm for it being eradicated in Jesus' name. And her foot is not her enemy.
Right.
We want her to be healed. But more than that, whatever healing goes on in her life, we want her to give you glory.
Yes.
And honor. Yes. We want you to receive honor and glory from this. We lift her up to you now, Lord. And we say, nevertheless, not our will. And not her will, but thine be done in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Love her like only you can love her.
Yes.
Care for her like only you can. And we are in agreement with you in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Anyone else? By the way, we're not against Jerry. We're for her.
Right.
We're for her. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? All right. We'll say again, if there's anybody that needs any prayer after we're dismissed here, just grab one of us and we'll be happy to stop right in the presence of God and pray His will. Amen?
Amen?
By the way, for those of you that sound like I don't know the will of God, I do know the will of God. I've been talking about it all morning. You can't deny that I haven't been speaking about the will of God.
Right.
But sometimes God has to do some things in spite of our will.
Right.
And spite is a terrible word to use with God. You know what I'm trying to say. I'm believing that God is victorious in every life that we come in contact with.
Yes.
All right, Father, we have listened to you this morning in delivering this word. We know that. We've delivered it to the best of our ability, which is not enough. Holy Spirit of the living God, now you do your thing in me and everybody here and everybody that's in the sound of this voice. In Jesus' name, be saved, safe, be delivered, be healed in the redemption that Christ provided for you. Live higher than you. Live bigger than you. Live safer and stronger than you. And can only be done in Christ Jesus. But I encourage you in Jesus' name to do that. Be healed. Be safe. That goes for you. That goes for your family, your situation, your business. Every area that you have control over, give it to Jesus Christ and watch God the Father bless it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Train us up in the ways that we should go with the words that you've given. We receive them unto ourselves now as life and health. And everybody that agrees, in Jesus' name, says amen. Amen. Be dismissed. Don't forget our little fellowship we have.